The Crude Life.
Welcome back to Talk of the Town. My name is Jason Spies, sitting in today for Steve Bakken. This is a Wattage Wednesday. It's a takeover here from The Crude Life and Jason Spies, a little bit of ESG University. Maybe some industrial forest thrown in today on this takeover Wednesday, Wattage Wednesday. Mark J. Lindquist, Air Force veteran, humanitarian volunteer in the Ukraine, is on our Zoom line as he's Operation Sleepout happening in Fargo, North Dakota. He was in the Ukraine up until, when did you get back, Mark? How you doing?
Just a couple weeks ago, Jason.
Merry Christmas. Happy New Year's.
Merry Christmas to you. Yes, yes. Yeah. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I appreciate you coming on and appreciate your service. Appreciate your humanitarian work. I got to ask you, though, are you still working, doing the motivational speaking, the singing, the national anthems? Are you doing anything to make money, or are you just like giving back your service these days?
You know, it's really full-time service, and I figure that I can do this full-time until April of this coming year, 2023, and then I probably have to reevaluate if I want to keep paying bills. But I'm a very self-sufficient guy. I got rid of my apartment when I went to Ukraine, and all I have is a cell phone bill, so I can do this almost indefinitely, go back to speaking whenever we feel compelled to put this mission to rest.
So Operation Sleepout is happening as we speak right now. You've been peppered all over the statewide media, a little bit of national media thrown in there as well. Let's talk about Operation Sleepout, what it is, how you came about doing it, and what the cause goes for.
Well, I've been sleeping outside in Fargo, North Dakota for the past 12 days. Started on December 16th. I'll take it all the way till New Year's Day at noon. And it's in solidarity with my brothers in the Donbass and my friend. And you're cold and you're wet and you're in a trench for months on end. And so I just wanted to bring attention to the fact that there's many ways to help Ukrainians, especially through the winter. And we're collecting winter weather gear and medical supplies for these folks fighting for freedom in Ukraine.
Collecting, you broke up just a little bit there when you were describing, I think, some of the foxhole conditions that were happening, or even just some of the living conditions over in the Ukraine right now. You left a couple of weeks ago from the Ukraine back here in the North Dakota, in Fargo right now, sleeping outside, creating some awareness. You sang the national anthem at some North Dakota Petroleum Council events, the Williston Basin Conference, for crying out loud. You're very aware of how important energy is to, you know, the world right now. And I'm seeing all kinds of reports that the Ukrainians are without power and et cetera. What's going on over there?
Well, I talk to my friends in Ukraine almost every day, certainly not every day, because they don't have power, but 3 or 4 hours a day. So Jeez. Sometimes they can't charge their cell phones or get on a Zoom or a Skype. And so I have a lot of friends. You got to remember that this is a Western world. In the cities in Ukraine, it's a Western life just like you would experience here in America. So these friends work virtual jobs, tech jobs, project manager jobs for major companies, but they can't do that because they don't have electricity. You got to have electricity to work a virtual job. And so it's a real tough situation where people in the cities are trying to keep warm in apartment complexes that get down to 40 degrees Fahrenheit because they can't burn wood in the cities. In the villages, they're doing just that because that's the only form of energy that they can rely on to stay warm this winter.
Mark J. Lindquist is our guest. He is a Air Force veteran, humanitarian volunteer over in the Ukraine, was over in the Ukraine up until a few weeks ago. Is the staple, or was, for the fighting Sioux, fighting Hawks, hockey for the national anthem. Also, how many NFL games did you kick off the season for, by the way?
Oh, boy. I've probably done half the league over the course of the last 8 years or so. Minnesota Vikings, a couple different times.
Colts?
For the Chicago Bears at Soldier Field. Yep, that was for the Colts game when they came to U.S. Bank.
And, oh, that's what it was.
To do Monday and Thursday night football.
So, I bring this up because you bring up a great point that there is a lot of kind of, I don't know if it's misinformation or just kind of our interpretation of it, because The last time we had you on the program here, which is available at thecrudelife.com, if you'd like to listen to that podcast when we had Mark J. Lindquist on, about 4 or 5 months ago when he was over in the Ukraine, raising medical supplies, getting medical supplies for some people over there. And during that time, I think you mentioned that a lot of like the rubble imagery that we saw was more the rural areas. And a lot of the cities were very metropolitan, cosmopolitan. Is that still kind of the case with the added caveat now that the metropolitan areas just only have power 3 hours a day? Is that kind of what I'm hearing?
Yeah, so there's about five major cities in Ukraine, six, depending on how small you want to go. Lviv, virtually untouched. I couldn't find a bombed out building there. Kyiv is the sixth largest city in Europe. It's hard to find a bombed building there. Kharkiv, Ukraine, second largest city in the country. There is not a square block without a missile strike in that city.
Okay.
Think about a city the size of Minneapolis, and every square block in the city is hit by a missile. And so it's all depending on location.
I see. Okay.
The further you get to the Donbass, these villages and towns are obliterated. But it's a country the size of Texas, so a lot of different countryside out there.
How are the Ukrainians viewing the Americans? There's a lot of mixed messages, of course. And with the world of social media, now you can, or even the internet, now you can go check out what your allies or your enemies are saying about you. And in the last interview we did, you did say that this was the first Instagram war. So it's very social media heavy. So talk to me about the social media aspect of this war, and also how do they view Americans?
Ukrainians, I can say with confidence, universally believe America to be their strongest ally, and they are only waiting for us to give more support because we know that we have the common bond of freedom. And with the internet and with the real-time videos that you can get from the front lines, and people all over the world can know what's happening in Ukraine by opening up an app or a social media, everybody knows that the only way they will prevail is if America comes to their aid. And so they're very positive and thankful to every American that contributes.
Mark J. Lindquist is our guest. He's a Air Force veteran, humanitarian volunteer in the Ukraine. And come April, he's probably going to be public speaking, singing, and doing other things to generate some bill paying powers as well. And right now, though, he's got Operation Sleepout happening. We're going to find out more about that in just a moment or two. My name is Jason Spies, sitting in today for Steve Bakken here on Wattage Wednesday. This is Super Talk 1270's Talk of the Town. Welcome back to Super Talk 1270. My name is Jason Spies, sitting in today for Steve Bakken here on Talk of the Town. Wattage Wednesday, the Crude Life Takeover. ESG University talk coming up, as well as the industrial forest right now. We're talking with Mark J. Lindquist, Air Force veteran, humanitarian volunteer. Had a cup of coffee with Hawaii 5-0 and lost. He's a singer. Are you a songwriter too, Mark?
Oh, I don't know if I'd be a songwriter, but I'll sing someone else's tunes, like Frank Sinatra.
He's a karaoke singer. Okay. And he'll even sing the national anthem at an NFL game on national TV. Okay, so he's had a few things happening in his arsenal of activities, but right now he's Operation Sleepout. Let's talk about Operation Sleepout, the genesis behind it, what the cause is going to, and correct me if I'm wrong. You're actually sleeping in this sub-zero temperature every night for the last 2 weeks or a week and a half?
Yes, sir. Since December 16th, I've been sleeping outdoor in my vinyl tent and sleeping bag in these sub-zero, 30 below wind chill nights. And the whole point is to raise awareness about ways that we can bring winter weather gear to these freezing Ukrainians over there that have fled their homes, but also sitting in trenches. So it's about bringing base layers. It's about bringing things you can put underneath your clothing to keep warm. Because when I got over there in April of 2022, there were people that were dying at the border waiting in line to cross into Poland. And so it's a very simple thing that we here in the Midwest with plenty of winter gear in our closets can do. And so it really was a function of, we got over there in March And then a lot of attention was given to the cause and a lot of donations came in. But by June and July, when the news stopped covering it, then donations slowed to a trickle. So we needed to come up with as big a voice as possible to spread the word about how to help Ukrainians and spread that word throughout America. So this effort, Operation Sleepout, is a part of that.
Talk to me about the base layers, how you are staying warm. I mean, this is, I'm not trying to stir the pot or anything, but, this is the type of weather where, the cops can arrest you for being so stupid.
I'm a law-abiding citizen, humanitarian do-gooder, so I made sure I got the mayor and the police's and the park board's approval before I did any of this stuff.
I always tell my son, I go, son, I've actually lived in Fargo and in North Dakota three times in my lifetime where on the news they said, if you're outside, the police will arrest you for your own safety. So, right. I mean, that's how cold. Fear. Yeah, so you did actually go through checking in with some law enforcement and some local dignitaries and that sort of thing?
Absolutely, because I was going to be camping in my tent in Broadway Square in the center of Fargo.
Oh, well, and, okay.
Of course, we don't want that to be a trend, but certainly some wonderful supportive people who are supportive of other people in Ukraine and my mission have really opened up their doors. Live Wire, Entertainment Media Services, Whale and Wash, Car Wash here, Journey Church in Town, Atonement Church, Bell Bank. A lot of folks have come to the mission and allowed me to camp in there on their property. And so really, it's a great community effort that we're all involved in here to send these winter coats and gear. I got a hold of 100,000 coats sitting in Fargo, collected by an NGO that operates in Africa where they don't need winter weather gear. I got 100,000 coats at my disposal donated to me. I just need to raise about $20,000 to get those shipped over there in the month of January. So that's what we're doing.
So talk to me about how you're staying warm. You mentioned that you're staying in some different private businesses and they're being, helpful along the way. I was just talking to a guy the other day and he was telling me the story about having to get the coal, put a piece of coal out in the, wood-burning stove or the coal-burning stove or whatever it was for like 2-3 hours to get the concrete warmed up because we know how much the concrete sucks out the heat in the wintertime. So, I mean, all I could think of is you in a parking lot and the concrete just sucking all that heat right out of the tent. So what are you doing to stay warm?
Well, I mean, if you get the right gear, which exists in the United States of America on a shelf somewhere, you can survive it. These, folks survive on Everest in these tents and in these sleeping bags. So I've got a base layer of a tarp. I've got the tent, then a roll of blankets, and then also a good quality sleeping pad and a below zero rated sleeping bag. And so the point is, I've got 4 sleeping bags in my tent. I've got 6 jackets, and I have access to the best gear to survive in the winter. These Ukrainians are going out to the trenches and to the refugee camps with what they have on their back. And so I look around America and I see everything these Ukrainians need on shelves in America. And I think it's foolish for the right things that could help save lives to sit in the wrong place on planet Earth.
Do you have a website? Is there somewhere you're being aired in Bismarck right now, and if somebody wanted to help out in Bismarck, is there a way that they can donate money? Or you mentioned jackets earlier. Are you capped out of clothing? Or
we can always use more winter weather gear, but we can always use the financial contribution as well, because these coats don't get over there by themselves. Of course, you need some money to ship these things. And so it cost me $1,000 a pallet to get it on a plane. It cost me about $4,000 per shipping container to put it on a ship. And so that's what we'll do with those winter weather coats, those 100,000 of them. And so the financial contribution helps greatly because the American dollar goes so far over there, Jason. I can get 3 or 4 times the amount of supplies in Ukraine on their shelves than I could in America. So if you give $5, I might be able to get $15 worth of supplies from a Ukrainian business and also support their local economy.
So you're doing this until the first of the year, is that right?
Yes, sir.
Now, are you cooking out there? Are you, going to Jimmy John's? How are you eating?
Well, I have the beef jerky. I have the peanuts and the mixed nuts, just like they would survive on out there in the trench. And so I do my best to keep the calorie count high and, just basically try to mirror what these guys are involved in. Maybe I'll prepare an MRE in the tent. Every once in a while, a donor will invite me out to a dinner, and we'll talk about ways to help Ukraine. And so certainly I'm able to go indoors every once in a while, which is a luxury these Ukrainians don't have. But it's all for the cause, and it's all to raise money and recruit volunteers and people who want to pitch in. And so I'm all hands on deck 20 hours a day, just like I was over in Ukraine.
Do you have like electricity, or is this, propane
No, I got 3 candles in my tent, and I don't allow myself to run an extension cord out there because they don't have the access to that in their trench either.
What do you mean 3 candles?
Well, I got to keep my hands warm. And when I'm, on my phone coordinating aid from across the ocean, I need to have my hands warm. So I put my candle on and it warms the air in the tent. And so, these are the same conditions that these guys are dealing with and these refugees living in places that don't have electricity. And so my, discomfort is nothing compared to what 16 million Ukrainians are dealing with that don't live at home and, another 30 million plus that are without power.
It's rather interesting, though. I mean, because, you're doing this by choice. And so there's got to be some surprises along the way, aren't there?
Well, I've never winter camped before, so idea.
Everything's a new surprise.
Right? It's like, you have to make sure that you don't get too warm with too many layers because you don't want to wake up sweating. If you wake up sweating and wet, you could die. Mm-hmm. Hypothermia, right? And so I'm learning all about what it takes to survive in sub-zero temperatures. And the whole point is, folks, if I am at risk of death, I can go to my car, which is sitting 5 feet away, turn on the heater, and warm up and live. These guys are hours away from the nearest electricity. And so it's just a way for us to accentuate and highlight the struggle of war during wintertime. And Russia is using the weapon of winter to great effect in Ukraine. And so I figured the whole point of me coming back to America was to rally further support as it was back in the spring. And certainly with the winter weather, it's a congruent message that I think people understand. We're hardy folks who know how to survive the winter. I can't imagine what it's like to be without power in the winter for the next 5 months. And locals are really responding. And we just need to get the word out to as many people as possible because there are ways to help. You can go to markjlindquist.com, markjlindquist.com/Ukraine. And you can find out about our 501c3 nonprofit. All the donations are tax deductible. And you can send your winter weather gear or money to help support those shipments. And I'll head back to Ukraine on January 2nd for a quick week, distribute all these supplies at the border and to the contacts in Lviv, and we'll help some Ukrainians this winter.
You're heading back January 2nd. Are you going to stay or are you coming back at that time?
Got to come back home because what I've been doing here in America is setting up fundraising events at churches and Kiwanis Clubs, Lions Rotary, and Chamber of Commerce. So anybody out there who has an audience of people that might want to hear about ways to help Ukraine or just ask some questions from somebody who had boots on the ground, I'm making myself available, to come out there and just do a community talk, invite everybody possible, because all it takes is a couple volunteers to pitch in and we can make a big difference.
And what's the website again?
It is markjlindquist.com/Ukraine, or you can go to markjlindquist.com, click on the Ukrainian flag, follow @markjlindquist on social media.